I had to read just that one verse, Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to use that verse 16 as my introduction, so that'll be my whole introduction, and then I'll use a couple verses before that kind of as my outline tonight. And I appreciate y'all being here. We'll make sure to get everybody out on time, but it means a lot to me that you're here tonight. I want to look at this verse, and in the first couple words it says, from whom? And the whom is Christ. This morning in junior church, I told the little kids, all the kids that were in there, we had a lot of kids this morning, and I read from John 15 where Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. And Jesus again, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And this chapter talks about the church as a body, with Christ as the head. Christ is in charge. He's the brains. He tells us what to do. And if we're a good body, we respond to the directing of the head, and we do what we're supposed to do. But that word, from whom, that's talking about Jesus. The whole body, that word whole, thoroughly, whatsoever, whosoever, all of it. The whole thing, all of it responding at the same time in the right way. Then those three words, fitly joined together. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. The body whose members are properly united so as to produce the most beauty and precision. So a runner or somebody that has conditioned their body and someone that responds to their brain. And every muscle and every bone is pulling in the right way. And that picture that is painted for us as the body of Christ to fit together, to unite, and to make one. When we think about musicians that play together and harmonize, and they almost have an unspoken language when one is in the lead and the other takes the harmony, and there might be an eye that looks down or a nod, and there's that working together to create something that's more than just the individual. Brother John is saying about being in the garden alone, how important that is. But then as a church, to say we're part of the body of Christ, there's things that we can do together that we can't do as well as an individual. If we're working together in unity, fitly joined together, everything in its place and put in the right spot and doing the work that it's been designed to do. That next word there, and compacted. So verse 16, fitly joined together and compacted. And that word carries the meaning of, like we talked about, a musician or a teacher, someone that can infer or someone that can figure out what you're saying just with a glance, just with a motion, and they know what you're talking about. That ability to communicate that some of us struggle sometimes to have, but a great communicator that can say, you know what I mean, and the person will listen and understand. Or like a musician or an athlete, a pitcher and a catcher communicating to each other without saying anything, but compacted, brought down to the essence, brought down to the most important parts, and working without a disagreement, working without miscommunications, compacted. You know, if you think about something being crushed, but bringing out its most needed ingredient, bringing out the most necessary things, like a skilled laborer with his tools. I've been learning a lot, as Pastor already said. I appreciate all the guys that have been coming out and working, and I've been learning about a lot of things that I don't know anything about. Somebody had something yesterday that it was something that drove a nail that took gunpowder. I didn't know such a thing existed, but they shoot it into the ground and it shoots out like a gun. I said, you need to have a license to operate one of those things. I wasn't going to go near it, but I learned something new. I'm learning from, and I'm learning to respect some people. I thought I already respected them, but I have a new level of respect for them and their abilities and what they're able to do. And you think about a person that works with his hands, or he has a toolbox that he uses. He knows where everything goes. He knows the purpose for that tool, and he can use it skillfully. And there's a purpose behind every compact thing that he does. Everything that he reaches for has a reason. He does it efficiently, and it goes back to where it belongs. Almost the idea of breaking in something, of making it useful. Like you use a ball glove or put on a new pair of shoes and break in the leather. That word compacted, getting it to where it's useful, getting it to where you know where it is, you know what it does, and you can use it when it needs to be used. By that which every joint supplieth, from whom Christ, the whole body, all of us working together, fitly joined together, each one doing its part, and compacted, bringing out the essence, bringing out exactly what is needed at the right time, by that which every joint supplieth. The idea that we are fastened together, we're stuck together as a church, as part of this body, we're fastened together, and it's not talking so much about an elbow or a knuckle or a kneecap, but it's talking about all the things that Robin was talking about, making us a little queasy, all those little tendons and nerves, all the things that deliver what we need, that deliver the energy and the blood and the information that we need, the things that hold us together. That idea of binding it, fastening it, securing it, that which every joint supplieth, that word every, everything has a purpose. If you remove it, you miss it. And if you try to go without it, you know that it's gone. It's not where it's supposed to be. The blood vessels, the cords, the tendons and the muscles, all that stuff that makes you work, all that stuff that controls your body, you need it. And it, everything needs to work. Every joint needs to supply and receive what it needs. That by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, the energy that each part needs. You need, you know, if you tie a string around your finger, you know that finger needs blood because it starts to change colors. You need blood. You need oxygen in that blood. You need blood cells that are moving and circulating. All of that thing, all of those things are necessary according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. And again, look at those words, every. It says twice, every. The whole body, and it talks about everything working together. Every part labors to produce the great result. The support demanded and furnished by every part is in proportion to its strength. And I know, if you know, my son at night when he takes his socks off, he likes to pick his toe jam is what he says. But I don't know how much time you spend thinking about your feet. I think about feet a lot. I don't know why. But the difference between your heel and your pinky toe. Your heel, in my case, needs to support a lot of weight. And it needs to be available. Every time you take a step, it has to hold that weight. But your pinky toe is important, too. If you don't have your pinky toe, you have to learn how to walk again. Because at the right second, when you're about to lose your balance, that pinky toe kicks in. It doesn't hold as much weight as the heel holds, but it's necessary. And talking about those parts, we need all of them. They all don't hold the same amount of weight. They all don't have the same amount of skill, depending on how much we exercise them. But they're all necessary. And if you take one away, you notice it. This gives us reassurance to those of us that are pinky toes that nothing is useless. There's a use for everything in God's body. There's a use for everything that Christ is the head of as we are the church. Nothing's useless, and nothing should be, because of that, nothing should be overworked, because our designer is the best designer that there is. So if one of us feels overworked and too much weight is being put on it, there's supposed to be another part that takes up the weight. None of us are useless. All of us have a responsibility, and all of us should not feel the crushing weight of the whole body, because there should be other parts of the body that take up that slack. Maketh increase of the body, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body. This is the way we grow. That's the way it's supposed to work. When I was a little kid, we always were told the story of the little red hen. She was in the barnyard, and she found some grain. She said, "Who will help me plant this grain?" Of course, there was a cat there. Judy's not here. She's got a good excuse, but she shouldn't have even asked the cat, because you know the cat was going to say, "Not I." "Not I," said the cat. "Not I," said the pig. "Who's going to help me weed? There's weeds growing around my little grain. Who's going to help me weed?" "Not I," said the cat. "Not I," said the pig. "Who's going to help me reap?" It's time to pluck that which is grown, to harvest the grain. "Will anybody help me with that?" "Not I," said the cat. "Not I," said the pig. "Who's going to help me mill it to make the flour?" "Not I," said the cat. "Not I," said the pig. "Who's going to help me bake the flour into a cake?" "Not I," said the cat. "Not I," said the pig. And then all of a sudden the cake was ready, and the little red hen said, "Who's going to help me eat this cake?" And the cat finally said, "I will." And the pig finally said, "I will." But they hadn't helped with the recipe. They hadn't helped with the planting or the weeding or the reaping or the milling or the baking. So the little red hen said, "This ain't your cake. This is my cake, because I did all the work." And we hear that story and we think, well, that makes sense. But then as a church, we think that it's our job to make an increase of the body. This is the way that we grow. The recipe for growth is that everybody does their part. Everybody bears the weight that has been distributed to them. Everybody provides the power and the blood and the sinew and the muscle. And when we all work together, we want that product. We want the cake, but we don't want to be part of the milling or the baking or the reaping or the weeding or the planting. And we learn the same lesson of the little red hen again and again. That's how the body grows. It works together. It works together, and each part responds to what is needed unto the edifying of itself in love. We made it through the verse. We made it through the introduction. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. To grow up. We always tell everybody, tells you, grow up. To mature. To reach a complete and rounded, balanced ability, a balanced body, in love, mutual harmony. This is talking about our bodies. If our bodies are working the way they're supposed to, nothing's running into each other, nothing's, you know, this is a hypothetical, but nothing's hurting, nothing's groaning, it's not hurting the body that's taken care of. Everything has a purpose, and they don't run into each other in accomplishing that purpose. You can live together in a body without hurting each other. Or at least that's the way it's supposed to be. I know it's hard sometimes in practice, but that's the way the body is supposed to work. You're supposed to exist and live and accomplish great things without hurting the members of the body. This is just one illustration. I read you where Jesus said he was the vine. We're compared to a tree or a vine. We're the branches. We're compared to a body. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, we're compared to a building. And I want to echo again what Pastor said. If you haven't been able to walk through the building and just look around, it'll give you a new appreciation for everything that goes into a building. You'll go home to your own house and appreciate your own house more and just realize all the work that goes into getting it together. In Ephesians 2, he talked about we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And then a very similar phrase, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And again, I've learned a lot just by observing. I've got to do a little bit of helping, but to watch a building grow together, to have everything come together and work together to make something bigger than the individual parts. Brother John's saying about we receive comfort in knowing Christ. As a Christian, that's an individual responsibility, an individual response. We know we're a sinner. Jesus paid for our sin. If we were the only one that he needed to die for, he still would have died for us. He provided us a home in heaven, and that's something we need to know as an individual. But the Bible also talks a lot about what we enjoy as a group of Christians. Jesus said he'd send us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Christ gave himself for us as an individual, but he also was a ransom for many. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that talks about more than one of us. There's a comfort in the together of the body. There's a comfort in the together of the branches of the tree. There's a comfort in being together in the building of God, growing together in the building. Even when we have conflict, like in Matthew 18, at the end of that chapter, he talks about how to deal with conflict. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There's a blessing that comes with being together with other Christians. Even if you're in Walmart or wherever you happen to be, there's a blessing that comes with joining together. As Sue talked about, being with a great big group of other Christians and being together and growing together and doing it the way the Bible commands us to do. All right, so that was my outline. Now that was my introduction. Here's my outline. Number one, in order to be fitly joined together, we have to yield. Yesterday, I was talking about I got to help. Go to the hardware store, and two people today said they saw me at the hardware store, but I didn't see them because I was so worried about getting the right stuff, and it's not something I'm accustomed to. I'm used to going to get duct tape and electrical stuff, but they sent me to the lumber yard yesterday, and I've only been back there like one time. So I was back there, and the guy said, it's one way, so you got to come in this way. There's arrows on the ground. There's signs up in the air, and you can only go in one way. You can only come out one way. If you don't do it, if you miss something, go back around. Don't back up. Just go back around. So I was there for a long time because I did not yield. I didn't yield to the label. I didn't look at the label. I had my little sheet. I'd already paid for it, and I had to go pick it up. But I didn't yield to it. There was only one place where it was labeled. This is where the 2x4s are, and I missed it the first time around, so I had to go back again. Kenny said I almost ran into him because he was back there waving at me, and I went around the circle again because I lost where it was. But as a Christian, if we want to be fitly joined together, we have to yield. That's how we get saved. We yield to the price. We yield to the label. We're a sinner. We yield to the price of that sin, death, and hell. We yield to God's bargain. If we want to get out of this mess, we have to agree to God's label. We're a sinner, a God's price, death and hell, and we have to agree to God's bargain. Jesus already paid it. He gave us mercy and grace. We have to accept that. After we get saved, the yielding doesn't stop. Our overriding desire should be to be fitly joined together, each part doing what it can do to accomplish the goal. The goal is to make new disciples. The goal is to teach them about Jesus from God's word. The goal is to grow with them because we're all growing together. And number one, in order to be fitly joined together, you have to yield. Number two, in order to be fitly joined together, you have to acknowledge the gifts. I don't have a problem with this until you get to that word every. We have to acknowledge the gifts of every believer. Over and over again, we read that, the whole body. We read every, the whole body. We have to choose to learn from every believer. And I think we're doing pretty well. I like that we have young people that hang out with the old people. I believe the young people have a lot to learn from the old people. But I also believe the old people have a lot to learn from the young people. You've probably forgotten it, but it's good to see it from a young perspective again. I'm glad Awana's starting back up because I love just hearing the testimonies of a middle-aged or older person looking at the Bible, looking at God's word from the perspective of a little child, and to see it again, to see it anew and see it fresh again. Every one of us have to acknowledge that every other believer has something that we can learn from them, something they can teach us. Over and over again in Ephesians 4, verse 7, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I'm looking forward to the end of this sermon. I know you might be saying the same thing, but at the end of every sermon on the way out, somebody will tell me an illustration or they'll mention a verse that I didn't think of, and I think that would have made it a little bit better. And I do look forward to the suggestion and the counsel. And none of us should get beyond the point where we say, I don't need your opinion, I don't need your perspective, because we do. We need each other's counsel and perspective. Number three, in order to be fitly joined together, we have to acknowledge that we were designed to be different, for different purposes, within the same body, within the same building. When the plumber gets all done, the building's not done. When the electrician gets all done, the building's not done. When the drywall or in the 2x4s and the concrete, it gets all done, the building's not done. The building's done when everybody has done their part. When everybody is complete, then the building's complete. We have to acknowledge that there's different abilities, different gifts that God has given us. In verse 11 of Ephesians 4, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We have to acknowledge that people have different gifts, and people have different ways that they're able for God to use them, and to say, you know what, everybody has something that I need to learn from them. If I wasn't supposed to learn from them, they wouldn't be part of our body. They wouldn't be here. And then number four, in order to be fitly joined together, we have to acknowledge that we all, that word every, we all, the whole thing, we all are involved in a process of growth. We're not individually striving to outgrow one another. I had written down in my notes about if you picture a runner running the race and he sees that he's behind, that runner can't tear off his arm and throw it over the finish line and say, I won. Now, you know, sometimes you win by a nose, but I'm sure there's a rule in there somewhere that your whole body has to win the race. We finish the race together. We grow together. It's very easy to say, you know what, I'm more mature than you. I pray for you to catch up with me. I would never say this, but somebody else might say, I pray for you to catch up with me someday. I pray for you to be as spiritual as I already am. But if we're part of the body of Christ, an arm doesn't win the race. The body wins the race. An arm doesn't build the building. The building gets built when all the pieces come together. In order to be fitly joined together, we have to acknowledge that we all are involved in this process of growth. In Ephesians 4, verse 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That word all, we all, the unity, the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the nature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We don't win if one of us wins the race. We stay together as a body. Don't deceive yourself. Don't lie to yourself and say, I've arrived and I don't know what's wrong with my legs and my torso and everything else, but I'm where I need to be. No, we're a body. We all come together. We all work together, every one of us, the whole body. And we know that there are others around us that still need our help. In Philippians, it says, be in one mind, striving together. Don't waste God's gifts on making excuses. Some of us have been blessed with the gifts of God. And I think about people just in the world that have tremendous influence and what they choose to use it on. Instead of telling people about they might be saved people, but they don't share the good news of Christ, they use their influence for other things. Don't fall to that distraction. Don't be distracted by that. After salvation, our goal should be to be fitly joined together. If you're here tonight, you haven't trusted Christ, I'd like to invite you to become part of the best body, the best building, the best branches and tree that there is. And once you do that, once you become part of the family of God, part of the building and the body, our desire should be to make new disciples of Jesus Christ, to be ready to teach them, to say, you know, I hope somebody calls on me because I got something I want to say about God. I hope I get to share today what God has done in my life, to be ready to teach them from God's word, to be ready to grow with them, to accomplish what God has for all of us to accomplish, every one of us together. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. A Christian should say, you know, we all have to get there. We all have to become what God wants us to become together. We all have to grow together. We all have to finish and accomplish this together. Whatever I can do to compact or to supply or make it more effectual or to make it increase or to edify it, let me do it. Let me do it. Let me be the part that God wants me to be so we can accomplish what needs to be done together. We have a word of prayer. If you're here today and you're feeling like a loner, you're feeling like you're an individual when you should be part of a group, come and pray. Ask God to give you the wisdom to find those that he wants you to work with to accomplish his will as we do something together that we cannot do as well as an individual. God designed it that way. That's the way we grow. We'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for each one that's here tonight, Lord. And thank you that you've chosen to use us or we wouldn't be here. Thank you that you've chosen for us to grow together as this local church, as this called out assembly, or we wouldn't be here. Thank you that you have the work for us still to do tonight and this week, or we wouldn't be here. Thank you that we're here tonight, Lord. Thank you that you have work for us to do. Thank you that you have the people that you've chosen for us to be together. Help us to grow and serve you together as a church. And thank you for the examples all around us of those that have already done it and they've used it in their life. Help us to learn from each other. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.